Well, good morning. Thank you, Rylan. I'm glad to see that I'm not the only one that can flub up a Sunday morning. That was good. You just all wanted to see him again. I know. I get all that. Hey, welcome. Today, can you believe it, is the last day of 2017. Where has the year gone? Some people are clapping for that. I get it. Yes, I get that. But what an incredible year this has been. I mean, think about this. We have had unprecedented events that have absolutely rocked our world, haven't they? I mean, think about what's happened. We have had events that have tested our resolve. They've tried our faith. They've absolutely even shaped our future. But instead of talking about those events, because I could take lots of time reviewing the year, instead I want to look forward. And I want to concentrate and focus on two simple verses that are foundational, representing who we are and how we should respond. So if you have a Bible, now's the time to take it out. If you don't, that's okay. If you have your smart device, you can actually follow us along on our H&W app. There's also Bibles around you can pick up, and hopefully the words will be on the screen as well. But we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And here's what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now listen, my challenge for you today is this, that you not only take time to read these verses, but you reread them. You read them again. You begin to memorize them. You begin to meditate on them, not only today, but all throughout the year. Why? Because here's what I've realized, that if God in his wisdom places in the context of Scripture these character qualities, this fruit of the Spirit that we as Christ followers are supposed to exhibit within our lives, then it's obviously important to you and to me that we focus on this as it relates to our personal growth with Christ. So I challenge you to read these, memorize these, focus on these. But let me give you a little advice in that. What I know about me is that I'm somewhat of a slow learner. And the truth is, when it comes to forming the fruit of the Spirit and growing in Christ-like character, so are you. Well, that's judgmental, isn't it? But how do I know that? How do I know that? Because both Mark and Matthew tell us in the Gospels that the Spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. The Spirit is willing. We want to do what's right. We want to do what's good. We want to do what God wants us, but our flesh is weak. So here's my advice. My advice is not to try to focus and try to perfect all of these fruit of the Spirit, all of these character traits, but intentionally focus on maybe one or two or three of them in 2018. And then do it again in 2019. So I've actually got a 2-year resolution for you. And then you can ask yourself, how can I become more loving or more joyful or more peaceful or more patient and so forth? You see, some of you may be looking at these verses yourself right now and saying, but Alan, wait a minute, how is this relevant to what I've been going through? You just don't understand what happened to me in 2017. You see, right now, what I was hoping for was a message dealing with and or experiencing suffering or how to heal or how to find hope in desperate situations. But listen, no matter where you are, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're experiencing today, these verses are incredibly relevant to you. And we're going to find out why as we go forward this morning. But I want you to think about it. We're coming up to a new year, right? I mean, this is the last day of the year. So a new year is right around the corner, and I'm sure you're all making all kinds of resolutions. How can I get control of my finances? How can I lose weight? Whatever those resolutions are, I'm sure you're making them. But I can't think of anything better than to stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to resolve as a Christ follower to become more loving, to become more joyful, to become more peaceful, to become more kind, especially in the context of the world in which we live. You know, Jesus absolutely cares about your personal growth. Did you know that? Dallas Willard said it well. Here's what he said. He said, the most important thing about you is not the things that you achieve, It's the person you become. And the truth of the matter is this: we are all becoming. If you're a Christ follower, each and every one of you had a BC moment, that before Christ moment, that moment in your life before you understood who Christ was and the love that he had for you. Some of you might even be there right now. You've never really fully surrendered your life over to the leadership of Jesus. But you might be thinking, wait a minute, Alan, I was baptized as a child, or I go to church regularly, I even serve and give to the church. But here's my question: have you ever truly trusted Jesus as your Savior? Have you truly made it about him and not about you? You see, we as Christ followers, we had that before Christ moment. It was when Christ came into play. It's when we realized that we needed him in our life, which led us to then that moment of belief. Belief. That moment where we came to the point that we recognized the work of Jesus, what he did for us on the cross. We trusted in that work. We invited Christ into our life, recognizing that he is the one that made atonement for our sins. It was all about what he did and not about what we do. And then after that, at that moment of believing, what happens according to Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit, one of the Trinity of God, takes up residence in your life. The Holy Spirit indwells you. You become not only a Christ follower, but you become the actual residence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moves into your life. And what the Spirit of God longs to do in your life, he longs to see you become. He longs to see you become. See, before Christ, we had that moment of conviction. Believe, we had that moment of acceptance. But become is ongoing. It's something that continues all throughout our life. The Spirit of God wants to see your life continue to mature and grow in relationship with God and in relationship with others. How many of you would say that you're different this year than you were last year? Well, we're all older for sure, right? But as far as getting older, are you getting better? Are you getting better? Are you getting better in your becoming? Are you getting better in your love? Are you getting better in your joy, in your peace, in your patience, in your kindness, in your goodness, in your faithfulness, in your self-control, your gentleness? Are you getting better in your becoming? How are these fruits being cultivated in your life? Let me give you a big idea this morning. Let me give you a big idea that how you can cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And it's actually a very simple truth. So here's the big idea. It is only by abiding in Christ that we can bring forth the fruit of godly character. Let me say it again. It is only by abiding in Christ that we can bring forth the fruit of godly character. Listen, we here at H&W, we want to see you grow. You know why we want to see you grow? We want to see you grow because God wants to see you grow. So what we're doing this morning is we're providing you with a self-assessment tool. Don't you love those things? Don't you love them when you have to assess yourself? Now listen, when you walked in, you should have received one of these. It's just a simple piece of paper printed on both sides. If you didn't, make sure you grab one on your way out, because this isn't about your wife doing this. This isn't about your husband doing this, your kids doing this, your parents doing this, or your significant other doing this. This is about you doing this, because this is about your individual growth and who you are in Christ. And because of that, we provided this tool. By the way, these are Tim Keller's definitions of each of the fruit. They're great definitions if you read them. So sometime in the next week, I'm going to challenge you to go through them and rank yourself on how you're doing in each of the areas. What you're going to find out is that you're probably not doing these perfectly. If you think you are, have the one closest to you rate you. You know what you're going to find out? You probably got some growing to do. You see, God wants us to grow in our godliness of character. So here's the first thing we need to understand in this. The very first point of this is that the fruit of the Spirit comes from God. The fruit of the Spirit comes from God. This is not a moral code in which we live, nor is it something that you receive in a sudden one-time deal. Certainly the Spirit of God gives it to us, but you're not immediately going to produce perfect fruit, because just because you're a Christian, it just doesn't happen that way. This is also not behavioral modification. The truth of the matter is the fruit of the Spirit is from God. It must be evident in your life then as a Christ follower. And it is matured and it grows under the direction of the Holy Spirit who now indwells you. And let me tell you, maturing takes time. Maturing takes time. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you suddenly display perfect fruit. You just don't do it. And if you think you do, again, ask that person closest to you. And if they're honest, they'll tell you you don't. Maturing and growing the fruit happens over time. It's intentional. You know, I have a son named David. I remember when he was a freshman in high school, he wanted to go out for the golf team. And as he decided to go out for the golf team, I was a little bit worried simply because he was young. He was still pretty small. And at this time, they only had a varsity team. That's all they had. But you know what? I thought, you know, as a dad, I want him to go out for that. I want him to encourage him that. I want him to be stretched in that. I think it's okay that he goes out for that team because maybe he'll enjoy and begin to love the game as much as I do. And as he grows older, we can play it together. But here's the problem. As a freshman, we lived up north. And the problem was living up north, golf season was a spring sport. So guess what? The very first match he played in, it was snowing. I am not kidding you. It was snowing to beat the band. And you know what? They did not cancel the meet. So there he was, a freshman, a skinny little scrawny kid, trying to play golf on a varsity team for the first time. And you know what? He struggled. I watched him struggle. I watched his disappointment. I watched how he made several bad shots, made several poor decisions. And so I even began to question myself as a dad, should I have let him go out for this team? Should I have done that? Because my problem was, here he was really struggling. But you know what happened? I continued to watch him over time. You know what he did? He practiced. He played. He honed in on his skills. He got more intentional about his golf game. And the more he did that, the better and better he got. So much so as he continued to grow and mature, he became a great player. And unfortunately, he can beat me today. Unless I get into his head. No, I'm kidding. But he actually is a great player today. Why? Because he continued to practice. He continued to play. He continued to be intentional about maturing and growing his skill set. And you know what? This happens with you in your life when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. You begin to practice. You begin to mature. You begin to get intentional about growing the fruit. And you see results. So today, as we begin to enter a new year, take the assessment, take it home with you, take time to go over it. Maybe you'll realize that you're not very loving. Maybe you'll realize that you're not very joyful. Focus in on that. Practice that. Practice becoming more loving. Practice becoming more joyful. You'll begin to see these character traits grow and mature, and the fruit of the Spirit begins to take over your life. And now here's the deal, and this is my second point. If you're going to do that, you must resolve to grow the fruit of the Spirit. If the fruit of the Spirit is going to grow in your life, you must resolve to grow the fruit of the Spirit. You have to decide for it to grow. You have to make that choice to allow the Holy Spirit to work. Jesus makes it very clear in John chapter 15. What he does is he gives us this beautiful illustration and he explains who he is and how the fruit of the Spirit works. So if you have your Bibles, we'll be looking at John 15, 1 through 6, and here's what it says. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now's the time for a little interactive audience participation, okay? So you can participate in this. I'm going to ask some questions. Where does the fruit come from? The vine. The vine, absolutely. Who is the vine? Come on, this is back in the kindergarten time, and you can always say Jesus and get the right answer. Who's the vine? Jesus. Who are the branches? We are the branches. So here's the deal. We have to stay connected to the vine to produce and grow fruit. It's really pretty simple. So in order for us, and this is my sub-point under the point about growing is, if you're really going to grow, you must resolve. By the way, do you get the kind of the idea of the message? It's resolution time. We're making some resolutions today. I must resolve to stay connected to Christ. I must resolve to stay connected to Christ. Do you understand that the branch is the conduit of nutrients from the vine so that fruit grows? We're the conduit to grow fruit. He is a vine, we're the branch, and he wants to grow rich fruit. Now listen, all of us are going to produce some type of fruit in our lives, one way or the other. But the health of the fruit will be determined by the health of the branch. Do you get that? The health of the fruit will be determined by the health of the branch, and the health of the branch will be determined if it's connected to the vine. So the question is, really, as a Christian, why should I even care about exhibiting spiritual fruit? Or further still, as a Christian, why should I be intentional about creating space for Christ to grow and cultivate this fruit in my life? Why? The answer is really pretty simple. It's the way the economy of God works. That's the way the economy of God works. If you're not bearing fruit, then you're really not connected to Christ. But if you're connected to Christ, you'll find that you're growing rich fruit, healthy fruit, abundant fruit. But if you're not connected to Christ, that will be reflected as well. So the question is, how do I stay connected to Christ? How do I do that? Now listen, I'm going to give you some fundamental basics that you've heard ever since you were a Christian, all the way back to elementary, if you were an elementary kid accepting Christ. Three things, pretty simple. Time in the Word, time in God's presence, time with other Christians. Very fundamental, very basic, but so important to you growing the fruit of the Spirit. And see, here's what I've learned. The more time that you spend in God's Word, the more sensitive that you become to the things that the Lord desires to grow in your life. But you also become aware of those things that the Lord wants you to stay away from. You become more sensitive and aware of temptation. You become more aware of where God is as it relates to the trials that you're experiencing. You become more aware of the fruit that he longs to grow in your life. And I'm telling you, it really doesn't take a lot of time. Now, some of you are hearing this and thinking, time, time, time. I just don't have any time. I've got kids I'm dealing with. I've got homework. I've got work. I've got all these things. Alan, I just don't have time. Now, listen to me. Time in the Word is not only critical for you to grow rich fruit, but it's critical so that you can prioritize your other time. You want to create more time in your life? Spend time with God. Pretty simple. Now listen, I got to be honest with you. My time in the Word each day is not volumes of time. It's just not volume of time, but it is intentional. For me, I'm a morning guy, so I get up in the morning, but it doesn't matter when, it doesn't matter where, but it does matter that you're investing time in God's Word. Let me give you a truth. This will blow your mind. Do you know that simply reading 4 chapters a day, you'll read the entire Bible in less than a year? Wow. Did I just blow your mind? 4 chapters a day, and you will read the entire Bible in less than a year. But the key is to spend and invest in intentional time. Secondly, you've got to spend time in God's presence, taking time to pray. What are you praying for right now? Who are you praying for these days? How is prayer becoming part of who you are? Again, it doesn't matter where or when or how you pray, but it does matter that you're spending intentional time in prayer. And by the way, prayer is not merely speaking, but it's also taking time to listen. You have to take time to listen to the Spirit who indwells you. And you take intentional time by spending time in his presence. And then thirdly, it's time with others. This is so very important. Do you know you're designed to be in community with other believers? You know the church is referred to as the body. We all have a different part and function. Do you know the Bible tells us that iron sharpens iron? We are designed to be in community with others so they can speak into your life. We have to stay connected. That's why we here at HNW are so passionate about life groups. Now listen, if you're not part of a life group, resolve, there's that word again, in 2018 to become part of a life group. Make that one of your resolutions. Get connected to a small group. Listen, you can go online to do that. We have events you can do that. You can talk to one of our pastors to do that. You can go back to our connection center to do that. You have no excuse. Get connected to a life group. Why? Because you need to be in community with other people. You see, you have to take time. You have to create space for Christ to cultivate this, the fruit that's already within you. Maybe for some of you are thinking, Alan, I don't even own a Bible. That's okay. Guess what? In the seat you're sitting or one around you, there are Bibles. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't have a Bible, please take that as our gift to you. Please take that and begin to read it. If you've never read it before, that's okay. Just start. I would suggest you start in the book of John, but start reading. Start where you are. Read the Bible. So the next thing, if you really want to resolve to grow the fruit of the Spirit, I must resolve to allow the Spirit to produce fruit in me. Do you hear that? I must resolve to allow the Spirit to produce fruit in me. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, first of all, is a primary indicator of your spiritual growth. If I'm not allowing, let me say it this way. If I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to do this work in me, guess what's going to happen? Fruit is going to grow in me. And you know what's going to happen? Then it's going to overflow out of me. So it's not only going to benefit me, but it's going to benefit others around me. It's going to impact and affect people around me, not just me. Back in the 1960s, I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember this. I was just a young little kid. But back in the 60s, in Louisiana, the civil rights movement was in full swing. And what was happening in Louisiana, in New Orleans, they were actually doing desegregation. They were trying to get kids shipped and bused to other schools. And so what they did was, back in New Orleans in 1960, there was a 6-year-old little girl by the name of Ruby Bridges. Ruby was one of 4 black students that were chosen to be bused into an all-white school. What's interesting, though, Ruby was the only one that actually made it to the school. So here she was, this lone little black student in a school of all-white children. And so here Ruby was, every day that she went to school, she was escorted by 4 U.S. Marshals. Take a look at this picture. She was escorted. Why? Because parents and other people were yelling obscenities at her that I can't even repeat in church. And so here this little 6-year-old girl going to school every day being harassed. But little Ruby said, you know, it's okay. And what happened, though, was the parents of the white children, they were so angry and so upset that they actually refused to let their kids be in the same classroom with Ruby. And so they pulled their kids out of school. So the school had this choice to make. They had this choice of what are we going to do? And so they decided they were going to hire this teacher for Ruby and Ruby alone. Wow, desegregation was really working, wasn't it? They put her into her own classroom in their school by herself. They hired this woman by the name of Barbara Henry. Now, I don't have time to go into Barbara's story, but Barbara was from Boston, Massachusetts. And as they were interviewing Barbara, they told Barbara that she was basically going to teach one student. And they wanted to know if she was okay with that. She says, absolutely. He says, but you need to understand something. This student is black. Are you okay with that? It was interesting. Barbara Henry, who was from Boston, they didn't have the type of civil rights issues they were having down in Louisiana, said, why would you even ask me that type of question? I'm a Christian, and here's the truth. No matter what skin color or ethnic background, God has created everyone with value. So here Barbara Henry was, the lone teacher for Ruby Bridges. And she began to teach Ruby every day. Every day she would teach her. They would do games together. They would do math together. They would eat together. They would spend lots and lots of time together. But here's what was interesting. Every day that Ruby came in, she was still escorted by these marshals, and there were still crowds of people yelling obscenities at her. But what's interesting, as she was walking through the crowd, as these people were yelling at her, Ruby would begin to mouth something back at them. And what nobody knew what Ruby was saying, but they noticed what her teacher noticed was she was continuing to talk to them as she walked through the crowd. So one day, Barbara Henry, her teacher, says to Ruby, "Hey, Ruby, I notice every time you come in and they're yelling at you, you're saying something back to them. What are you saying?" And little Ruby said, "I'm praying." "Oh, well, what are you praying for?" And she said, "I'm praying for them." She says, "As a matter of fact, I'm praying a prayer something like this. Please, God, try to forgive those people. Because even if they say those bad things, they don't know what they're doing. So, God, forgive them just like you did those folks a long time ago when they said bad things about you." Wow. A six-year-old little girl, Ruby Bridges. Now listen, don't miss this. This little girl was using this time to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in her life, and it changed her, and it changed those around her. I don't have time to go into the rest of the story, but Ruby became friends with so many people. You see, it changed her life. And I got to tell you, it will do the same thing for you. It'll do the same thing for you. So here's the next thing. If you're going to resolve to grow in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, here's the tough one. I must resolve to allow the Lord to prune my life. Wow. Listen, John 15:2 says this, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." Now, often the pruning of the Holy Spirit, let me just tell you a truth. Often the pruning of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit is doing is he's ministering in us to prepare us for our next spiritual season. You see, when a vintner prunes a tree, he's preparing it to produce a more abundant harvest in the next season. So what the vintner does is he takes a look at the vine and he cuts off some good branches. He sees branches that are producing fruit, but he realizes they can produce even more abundant fruit. But he also cuts off dead branches from the vine. But he also cuts off what are called suckers. Those are branches that suck the life out of the burn so the vintner prunes. And the truth is, none of us like to be pruned. And yet, that's what the Spirit of God does. He prunes us. He uses conviction. He uses discipline. He uses trials to cut off the dead things from our lives and to cut those suckers from our lives that are really keeping us from growing. You see, because God wants us to grow fruit in our lives. Now, some of you probably right now are going through pruning. It's a hard season for you. It's something that you'd enjoy. But let me just tell you this. I want to give you some questions that you need to ask. And then I want to give you a truth that you can hang on to as you're going through pruning. Here's one of the first questions you should ask is, how will I unwrap this gift of pruning so that the Lord will work more deeply in my life? You see, James tells us that we're to count it all joy when we fall into various trials. Why? Because he's maturing us, he's growing us, he's pruning us. So the question we have to ask is, God, how do I take this gift so that I can grow deeper with you? The second question you need to ask, how will I unwrap this gift so others can see the Lord in me and grow deeper in their trust of him? You know, sometimes God prunes you so it will impact others. Did you know that? You know, people are watching you. They're watching you at work. They're watching you at school. And God will use pruning in your life so that you will respond in a way that will impact others so that they will trust in him. Another question it's okay to ask. What are these questions that I have when I'm going through pruning? What are you doing, Lord? How am I growing in this? What is it you want for me in this, Lord? Begin to ask those questions. But as you're asking those questions, you have to remember, what are the truths that you know about God? Truths like, he will never leave me or forsake me. Truths like, he loves me with an everlasting love. Things like all things work together for God. All things work together for God to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You have to remember the truths that God is using and that he's preparing and providing you with. Then you need to review, what lessons have I gained? What have I learned? What is the pain that I've felt? What is the healing that I've had? And when you get to that point, then you can, in all conviction and confidence, say, Lord, teach me, show me, work in me, steady me, strengthen me, break me, and build me. And here's the truth I want you to hold on to when you're going through pruning. God is both a lover and a liberator. He's a lover. He loves you. But you know what? He's a liberator, which is why he prunes you. He wants to free you from those things that are harming and causing you stagnation in your growth. He's a lover. He's a liberator. So here's the question. What's dead in your life that's hindering your growth from taking place in you? What are you not allowing God to touch on in your life? Allowing that to be something in which God would long to use to bring greater and more abundant growth of the fruit of the Spirit within you. What are those areas of your life that are sucking the life of Christ out of you? What are those areas? Which brings me to this point. Again, resolution. I must resolve to stay in step with the Spirit. I must resolve to stay in step with the Spirit. When you read about the fruit of the Spirit, you have to read it in the context of which Paul is speaking. That means we have to go back in Galatians to chapter, not only chapter 5, but into verse 16. And here's what he says. He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Listen, the flesh, your flesh, my flesh, is contrary to the Spirit of God who indwells me. My flesh is in conflict. It is at war with the Spirit of God. That's why I can't do just whatever I want to do. That's why I've got to put boundaries in my life. That's why I've got to make some resolutions to stay connected to Christ, to allow Christ to prune me, to allow me to stay in step with the Spirit. Look at verse 18. It says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Wow, look at the grace. Look at the grace in that verse. But at the same time, he continues in verse 19. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warn you, as I've warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, your flesh prohibits you from experiencing and realizing the fullness of the kingdom. Your flesh is at war. But then he goes on and he talks about the fruit. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now notice, in these verses that I just read to you, notice Paul gives us two lists. He gives us two lists. The two lists, one is the lust of the flesh, and the other is the fruit of the Spirit. Notice the list on the left. The lust list, there's more in it. And by the way, you don't have to work hard on those, do you? Unfortunately, those are natural to us. They're natural to our flesh. We don't have to work hard at those, but then look at over on the fruit of the Spirit. Got to work on those. Those don't come natural to us. Those are a gift of God, but guess what? We have to be intentional about growing those in our lives. It takes intentionality. It takes resolve. And so if we're going to be who God wants us to be, we have to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to tell you, my challenge for you this morning is that I want you to grow in your life. I want you to grow. But the question is, are you willing to allow God to grow? Are you allowing to grow him? You see, the Spirit of God reigns in your life, but are you giving him that leadership position? See, the more fruit that you allow the Spirit to grow, the more evident you'll become as a Christ follower. Now, there's this comedian. I love this comedian. His name is Michael Jr. I don't know how many of you have ever seen Michael Jr. Michael Jr. is a great comedian, but he's also a great godly man of God. And he really describes this perfectly. So instead of me, take a look at this brief video clip.
This is like, because of what I've been through, God has given me an additional sensitivity to people similar to me. So I try to make things as simple as possible. And one morning I was writing jokes. I know you don't imagine people writing jokes. I was up at like 4 o'clock in the morning writing jokes. And then while I'm writing a joke, I wrote down the word house. And God showed me something about a house, and it wasn't even a joke. It ain't funny. Like it's real. So I think everybody listening to my voice about this house thing. This is fun. This is so cool. This is what a relationship with Jesus is like. This is when you change the game. This is how you change the game, basically. This is what's going on. It's as if everyone in this room and everyone at every single campus and everyone even watching online, I'm talking to everyone. You got to listen to this. It's as if we're all a house. And outside of the house is Jesus. And he wants to come in. But he'll never force his way in the house. He wants you to invite him in the house. And a lot of people in this room right now, and a lot of people watching, you're okay with having Jesus outside the house. Because then all you got to do is open the door, crack it a little bit, tell him what you need, and then close the door back, and then go about your business. But he wants to come in the house. And one of the main reasons you will not let him in the house is because your house is a mess. You think you got to clean it up first. You've been trying all this time to clean it up. And it's still a mess. And he knew it was going to be a mess before you messed it up. And you're still trying to clean it up. And in fact, he's the only one who can clean it up. And he's standing outside the door right now, wearing an apron with a bucket in his hand, waiting on you to invite him in. And then there's some people in this room, there's some people watching right now who used to have Jesus in the entire house. But for some reason or another, you decided to evict him completely. Or you've just moved them to one area of the house, that one room. It's the good room. You ever been in somebody's house, they got a good room, they got plastic on the furniture, can't nobody go in there. It's the good room. And a lot of times that room is the room right up front by the big window. So when people walk by, they're like, wow, that house is clean. Wow, they got Jesus. Jesus doesn't have him. He's only in that one room, and the rest of the house is a mess.
So here's my challenge for you this morning. Do you really want the Spirit of God to grow the fruit of the Spirit in your life? If you do, are you willing to open the rooms to let the Spirit of God in to really work within you, to really prune those things that are sucking the life out of you? Listen, here's what that means. It means you're going to have to open some doors to some rooms. Some of those may be rooms of pain. Some may be rooms of brokenness. Maybe some rooms of control, some rooms of bitterness, some rooms of unforgiveness. Some rooms that are sloppy and messy. I don't know about you, but I've got some sloppy and messy rooms that I need to open to the Holy Spirit. See, am I willing to, the question is though, am I willing to open those rooms so God can continue in to grow the fruit by pruning those areas of my life. So I want to give you a faith at home truth. This is a truth that you can take home with you. As I grow, as you grow in Christ, the fruit of the Spirit will become evident not only to you, but to those closest to you. Remember, growing fruit is not just for you, but it's also to allow the fruit to pour out of you. And if you will make the choice to do the hard work of opening the rooms of your heart to the Spirit of God and obeying and trusting Him, allowing Him to prune those rooms, and you begin to trust His Word and you begin to obey His Spirit, you will change. Not only will you change, but your family will change. And not only will your family change, our church will change. And when our church changes, we begin to impact and change our city. which in turn changes our world. And then we really do live out the mission of Houston Northwest by making Houston more like heaven, by helping Houstonians become more like Jesus. So that's my challenge. If you will do the hard work, you'll find that you'll become more loving, more joyful, more peaceful, more kind, more patient, more good, more faithful, more gentle, more self-controlled, which means you become more Christ-like. The bottom line is you will produce more fruit. So my resolution for you and me this year is resolve to allow the Spirit to grow in us so that the fruit can be produced in us, so to not only change and impact us, our families, but our city and our world. How many of you are willing to grow fruit with me in 2018? Great. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the fact that you're a good God. The fact that you are a God that loves us. Father, you tell us that because you love us, you discipline us. But you give us something that is more, that something we don't even understand and can't even comprehend. You give us the fruit of your Spirit so that we can not only be filled with abundance, but Father, that we can overflow with abundance to those around us. And so, Father, this morning as we consider 2018, as we look forward, I resolve and I pray that each of us would resolve to allow the fruit of the Spirit to grow in our lives by resolving to stay connected, by resolving to be intentional, by resolving to spend time with you in not only prayer, not only in our word, but with others. And so, Father, I can't wait to see what 2018 brings. Father, the impact that we can have in this world if your people will just confess and obey and then live out the abundant life that you've intended for us from the beginning. Father, I love you and I praise you. In Jesus' name. In just a few minutes.